Welcome to the Oat Health Heart Health Podcast. Good morning. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined this morning, as always, by Joe. Good morning, Joe. Good
morning.
Thanks for joining us for our episode number 9, July 21, 2009. We always have the support material and notes for the show at oathealth.com/blog/podcasts. And you can also find the Oat Health Podcast on iTunes. Just search Heart Health and you'll be able to find it there. So thanks again for joining us for this show. It's a little bit different format today. We're not featuring any news and research in this particular episode, but rather just an open discussion that's purely casual about exercise and some of the benefits, and talking about some of the weekly health challenge where we try to become more aware and more proactive in our food decisions. So I guess before we get into the main topic, in which we'll talk about some exercises and things like that, some exercise benefits, I should say, let's talk about the weekly health challenge that we did last week. Joe, what was the main focus again?
Yeah, so last week's health challenge was to really just try to keep track of fiber. We tried to give you some guidelines to do that last time. We left some notes and at the end of the last podcast to try to help you understand where is fiber found and how much and those type of things. So, you know, using some of those guidelines and just from looking at packaging and those type of things, trying to keep track, okay, how much am I actually getting of fiber? You know, I hear about fiber, some of the benefits,
right.
How much am I actually getting? So, we kept track. We did this as well. And, you know, something that I've kind of prided myself in and trying to get enough fiber.
You're a fiber expert.
Fiber guru, yeah. You know, it's like, back in the day, I used to pound people over the head with this information just because, you know, there's just benefits to fiber that we're not realizing. It's not really like it's a deficiency that people are telling us, hey, you know, it's like a B vitamin deficiency. It's not quite the same way that your body needs it, but there is that kind of need there, and it's just not as well spoken. And so I think that this is one of those things that if I can get people to do, it will change their life. It will change how much food they're eating, how many calories they're getting per day. It'll change, obviously, their digestive health. You know, your heart health, you know, you name it,
goes
affected
down the list.
By fiber.
I mean, and the other thing is, you and I talk, and even today we had a discussion about, you know, sometimes there's elements of food that we're kind of ahead of the curve on, and it's not really defined. What do you need? Is this really, truly essential? But fiber is well defined. So, you know, American Heart Association and the U.S. government, I mean, they all have definitions for what we should get.
Right.
We mentioned in the last podcast when we brought the challenge up that we're, as Americans, only getting, what, like half?
10 to 15, yeah. Right.
Out of 25 to 30.
25 to 35, right.
So now we're going to find out how hard was it really to either find fiber in our diet, because it's not always there.
Right.
Or just know, are we getting it? So what did you find this past week?
Yeah, so, you know, this is really, this week's challenge coming up, I'm not going to be very proud of, but this one I can be very proud of. You know, it's just, it's one of those things, as a family, we've made a conscious effort. My wife is really doing that as well. We're adding things into the diet, like beans. Everything we're doing pretty much is whole grains. You know, there's still, you know, a number of these things I have here. So, you know, at a few days, I still fell short, though. I was actually surprised that I thought I'd really make 25 pretty easily, but there were days I did fall short of that. And so, you know what, I just overview, I just really come to find that one of the biggest things that really stuck out to me was, you know, making the change to whole grain was huge. So, like, you know, most of my sandwiches here are like 6 or 7 grams of fiber per sandwich, because you have 2 slices of bread, where if it was white bread, it'd probably have been about half of that, or
right.
even a third of that. Amount. So that was pretty big, but you know, start off the first week, the first day of the health challenge. I don't know if this, I knew it was coming up or what, but I really chose a good one here. This is one of my favorite breakfasts to have, is steel cut oats. Half a cup of that, 8 grams of fiber.
Wow.
So that's a lot. And then, you know, I used that back in the day. I used steel cut oats along with some flaxseed oil and you know, some raisins and some honey, mix that all together, and that was my breakfast for, you know, about a month or so when I needed to lose some weight.
But steel cut oats, I mean, you're with that kind of fiber just in one serving, you're getting like more than 30% of your daily value right away.
Right. Yeah.
Which is good, because you only have three meals.
Want to try to jump out of the gate with it, you know, unless you're doing a lot of dried fruit and nuts and seeds as snacks. Yeah. Each meal you have to really get to a third of your goal, and
yeah.
So that one's going to help you get the raisins. Added to that 1 gram. And so That was definitely a good start to end the day with a beans and rice meal. And this is something my wife's been experimenting with. We actually had a meal where we didn't have any meat in it.
Right.
And it's like, that was kind of a weird feel. It was, really was.
Where's the protein? Where's the beef?
But it was beans and rice together, getting us a good, well-rounded amount of amino acids and protein that we need.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as opposed to eating a steak, which will give you no fiber, that meal gave us 12 grams of fiber.
Right.
And then, you know, the cornbread gave 2 grams. And then for dessert, this is my favorite, actually, cantaloupe and graham crackers, 2 grams. So, you know, all three meals together, 31 grams of fiber that day. And that ends up being a pretty good day out of the different days we have. One other highlight here, you know, so actually I was kind of surprised at really how well we're doing in getting some of the things we need in our diet. One thing I'm almost kind of embarrassed about, but I have to really bring this up because this is quite phenomenal what happened here. Realize we had fajitas. We had my sister over for a night, and we had my wife makes fajitas in the crock pot. Has beans in the chicken, and you know, so you have we had refried beans as well, and all these things. And actually, I think I underestimated this number, but I had 4 of them, and they're pretty good size too. They're whole wheat fajitas shells, 4 grams of fiber per shell.
Right.
And then so that's a good base to start with, and then you add on to that, you know, whatever else you're putting into it.
Right.
Well, I had 4, and they were pretty good size. I'm not gonna lie to you. All together though, you had the beans in, you had the vegetables in, you had also the refried beans. You know, the rice that we had in there. We use brown whole grain rice. In that one meal alone, I had 24 grams of fiber.
Well, you know, it explains something about, you know, that type of food, that it tends to be more, you know, whole food oriented. And then if you don't eat the refined flours,
right,
it's actually a pretty good meal. I mean, maybe not so much the refried beans. I mean, the name of the food kind of gives it away.
Right.
But yeah, that's interesting. And I'm glad to hear that, because that's one of my favorite meals too. So,
yeah. So, you know, there's some other meals here that I looked at, you know, what I was surprised at, it was just consistent. Even in some of the bad meals, or even when we went over to a friend's house for one of these meals, you know, it still stayed up, because I'm surprised at the mix of foods that were available, even when I had white flour or some of those things. But, you know, one of the days I did fall short, and it was just, you know, it just... Each day, I don't think we can take each day and say, oh, I did good or I did bad. But looking at the week this way, I think is really beneficial, because then you really get a feel for how am I doing. Looking at one day really isn't going to help you kind of give you an
And you've
indicator.
Highlighted another thing about thinking about it more along the lines of meals, because you can sell yourself short. I mean, I'll just give an example. This morning, I as much as I wanted breakfast, I didn't eat it. And so now I'm already in a deficit. And, you know, that's going to happen.
Right.
But... there can be days or weeks, you know, days strung together over a week, and I might not think about it, and that's where we get into real trouble,
right?
Where it's out of whack.
Yeah, and it really comes down to if you can make one or two changes at a time, because you know, I look at this list that I have here, and it really has a lot of good points in it. But I can almost look at each one, you know, each meal individually, and say, wow, you know, it probably took us about 6 months to even.
Yeah.
Think about that. So I look at all the whole grain bread that we have. You know, it took us a while to make that transition into getting 100% whole grain bread. Looking at things like steel cut oats and you know, some of the vegetables we had here. You know, it really just took, you know, so now we're 6 years into it, and it was just step by step. But
now, in terms of optimizing your health, I mean, first of all, you know, you're the fiber guru,
right?
And still you were surprised at some of the things that you noticed on your list.
Right.
And in terms of optimizing it further, so that you get, you know, the most for your effort, you're noticing some really surprising things that showed up. And that was kind of my feedback. I didn't necessarily track how much I got each day, but I was more focused on or being concerned with, you know, what's in this particular meal. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that showed up that were surprising, and then in a good way mostly, and then one, you know, sort of not so good. But I feel like they're pretty representative of what people come across. So it's summertime right now, great time to eat out, backyard barbecue kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm finding we're sort of catching up. We didn't really have the greatest start to the summer. We had a daughter with a broken leg, but Anyway, so now we're finally getting to really do some things, and so I'm seeing the hot dogs and hamburgers come up a lot.
Right.
So here's a great one. There's it was from Brownberry, is the bakery name, and they have 100% whole wheat sandwich buns.
Right.
They look a little different, I'll admit. They're like a little thinner than usual, and you know, if you don't give them a chance, then that's one thing. But I gave them a chance, and they actually had I think between 3 and 5 grams. A fiber each, plus it was you know, whole grains, so you're not getting the refined flours and such, and they really made an effort to make them healthy. The other thing is, for a snack at night, you know, just mixing some granola with yogurt, you know, actually not even in a bowl, just like a little coffee cup, you know, just so you don't get too much. But anyway, you can go to, this is at Walmart, this is not a health food store, Walmart, you can go and get Back to Nature is the brand name. They have classic granola. Doesn't have the hydrogenated oils and all the extra stuff that we're telling you to watch out for. But it does have, you know, just in the salt, small serving that they recommend. I can't remember how much it was, but it's 4 grams of fiber each.
Right.
So that's pretty good. So, I mean, that even for breakfast, that combined with something else, now you're to 30% of your daily value. You know, just something, some whole food, fruit, whatever. All right, so everybody, you know, there's 30,000 franchises in the U.S., I think, of Subway, so you're going to see a Subway at some point. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, we work right next to one.
Right.
And so if I screw up and don't bring a lunch, that's my default. You know, spicy Italian sandwich from there, you're getting 5 grams of fiber. Now, you got to be careful because it's easy for the Subway marketing to break down when you start putting the wrong things in your sandwich.
Right.
And you can get way too many calories, but that's a different subject. But just the fiber part. Yeah, so just the fiber part, you're getting 5 grams of fiber. So then we went camping this weekend. Among other things, I had, you know, for breakfast, a cup of fresh strawberries. So I'm getting like 2 to 3 grams of fiber there. But then on the bad side, and that same breakfast, we also had pancakes. And it was not, I'll tell you right now, it was not the whole wheat anything. It was like the Crustace buttermilk pancakes. And there is 1 gram of fiber in a serving. And I'm sure I had more than my serving. But the downside is it does have saturated fats and way too much sodium in it. So it just kind of, for me, it was just a highlight of, you know, when you really start looking at what's in it, there, like you found too, there's a surprising number of options that you've, you know, talked about again and again, you know, beans and such. But I'm also seeing just in the summer foods too, it's easier to eat whole food right now. I mean, you have the farm stands that are open or the farmers markets. The stores are definitely stocked with you know, great tasting produce. And then even on the stuff that you're going to eat that we call, you know, sort of traditional American, you know, summer meals, hot dogs, hamburgers, there was just lots of ways to get it. And there was once in a while where it's just like, okay, I'm just going to eat this, and it is not good. But like you said, you just try to create balance.
Yeah, I think controlling what you can, what you can't, what you can, when you can. But then also looking at, you know, some of those meal options and saying, hey, there are other options here that's real food. Like you're saying, we're actually pulling out of our garden right now some of the lettuce and zucchini, so I've been able to have more salad lately. But just realizing the opportunity that's there when you're out and about, that there's an opportunity to get some real food, or it, you know, just in what you're doing on a daily basis, realizing there's an opportunity here to add more real food in. So yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it as well. It's just that, once again, that awareness. And you know, this is the kind of thing that if you keep track of this kind of stuff over a week, you know, this is the kind of thing you'll pay a nutritionist $100 to tell you that they'll tell you that you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So just doing it and save yourself $100 and find out something about your health and your diet there.
Well, I'm about saving $100. So in our main topic, I think along the lines of sort of summertime is, you know, now is a good time to get out, be active, and we don't need to go to the gym to do this. I mean, we can just get out and do things that are going to be considered exercise. And so I think, you know, Joe, you wanted to bring up today some points about exercise, and at first you're kind of like, you know, what are we going to really do with this? But I think it's interesting because exercise is such a critical part of taking control of our risk factors, especially for heart disease, but many other things.
Right.
And we've seen in past studies that we've highlighted on the news and research of the podcast about how much control we do have, and it's a surprising amount. So I'm calling this sort of the surprising benefits of exercise, things you never thought of. like how to get the exercise and what could come from it. So I guess let's talk a little bit about this. You really want to talk about three dimensions, I guess, which is what it might decrease sort of risk factors for, the benefits of what types of health issues exercise can be useful for, and then the health issues that exercise can be beneficial in addressing, and then the actual benefits that it might increase. Right. So that's kind of the three parts that we're breaking it down for.
Yeah, and I don't think we see enough of this in the news. And you know, generally when we get this, when people are trying to tell us to exercise or trying to encourage us in that direction, we kind of talked about this, it's mostly in the weight loss category. And it's mostly just like, well, just get more exercise. And I don't think, once again, that just doesn't work for most people to say, just do this, you know, just do it on good faith. I think we need some good information to help us realize, okay, when I'm doing this, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And once again, you know, when we look at the diet and we say, well, why do I need to think so much about this? Why does this have to be at the forefront of my mind so much? Well, just like food, and we've changed food a lot, and mm-hmm. now we have to be more proactive to think about how do I get more real food in my diet. We also have to be more proactive in this area. You know, we've kind of, we enjoy a lot of conveniences in this country. And once again, there's a lot of upside there. There's a lot of things we've been able to benefit from being able to have more conveniences,
right.
Have life be a little bit easier in some ways that we're not working quite so hard. But in part of that, and we've talked about this too, you know, working desk jobs and working, you know, when you're sitting the whole time, you know, now we're spending huge percentages of our day very sedentary, not moving at all. I mean, if I'm moving my pencil, that's, you know, like that's hard work for me over here.
0.5 calories, right?
Yeah,
you're not doing too much, but.
So I think it's one of those things that I've realized now, and this is what, like I said, this is one of those places where I'm really falling short and saying, well, I'm not being proactive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like relying on the metabolism I got from swimming 10, 15 years ago in high school. You know, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of like living off of what I've done before. And I'm realizing now that, you know, I'm starting to get a little softer, and I'm starting to realize actually beyond, you know, beyond some of the weight things and just the ability to maintain focus and have good energy levels.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the things that we don't really think about is tied
to exercise.
The other
side of this too is it's easy to go from Monday to the next Monday and miss out on even thinking about, did I get any exercise? Did my heart rate go up at all?
Right.
Today, did I do anything? I'm not, again, it's too easy to talk about the gym or some weight loss program or doing, you know, whatever, yoga. And all those things are good, but we're just talking about physical activity here.
Right.
And you're highlighting the desk job factor, you know, where, you know, walking to the water cooler is is exercise for the day. But the other side, too, that I'm concerned with, why I want you to bring this up, is I think there are some people who have active jobs. Right. But there's like this latent penalty stroke that they're not going to see till later. Like you said, you know, you were swimming in high school or college or whatever, and you're still reaping the benefits. And the same thing is happening to, you know, if you have more of a blue collar job, you know, what would be physical work all day long, you can come home and eat poorly and you're not going to feel that right away. But you might go into more of a retirement mode or kind of taper off your work. And then suddenly these health issues are catching up. So we're trying to highlight it works both ways. You can have benefits for many years to come if you do something consistently, like swimming. I mean, that's pretty intense. We're not talking about that today.
Right.
But even have health benefits that aren't showing up. There's been a couple instances on the news of celebrities just sort of, you know, unexpectedly passing away. And they're saying, oh, from heart disease or this or that.
Right.
And they, it's like everyone's like, oh, I'm so shocked. How did this ever happen? Well, these things can be hiding out, but so can the benefits. It works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so I think that when you look at exercise as a whole, it really has a lot of benefits that we're not really seeing, that's not really being promoted enough, I think, across the board. So let's even go right into some of those.
Yeah.
Especially when we talk about, you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about heart disease and heart risks and those type of things. Well, this is one of those big ones because, you know, exercise has been shown in studies. So this is looking at all these things now, there's research to show that these things happen, that there are benefits to exercise, but we just wanted to compile them all together. The first one being that it does help decrease the risk of heart disease and stroke. And so this is under the umbrella of like cardiovascular disease. This is definitely the heart disease is the number one killer in America, stroke being the number three killer in America. This is a, you know, once again, anything we can do, and this is You know, we hear a lot of people when they call in, or just in general when we talk to people about heart health and those type of things. They really want to say, you know, I don't want to take these pills, or I don't want to do this, or, you know, I want to be able to, I can't understand why I'm here.
Yeah.
This is, once again, one of those huge factors that we can take control and say, hey, I don't want to do this. What are my possibilities here? And not to say that this is an alternative to that, but this is looking ahead and saying, okay, how can I avoid in the future getting myself in a situation where I'll have to be dependent on something that I don't, that will actually have negative side effects. And so exercise helping with that, you know, this falls in the next category here, but it's beneficial for cholesterol levels and triglyceride levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that exercise actually does help with, you know, total cholesterol levels, triglyceride levels. It also is one of the best ways to increase good cholesterol. And good cholesterol has lots of good benefits for our heart health. There's more research coming out that may be a larger factor than we're considering for heart disease. So the increase in HDL, huge. And let's just run down the rest of the list here in decreasing the risk factors for diabetes, mm-hmm. the ability to utilize sugar, blood sugar.
Right.
Muscles utilize it. So the more we exercise, the more we can utilize that blood sugar, keep ourselves in more of a balance. Osteoporosis, the impact of certain exercises can help our body to say, hey, you know what, this is being in use.
Mm-hmm.
I better keep up on the process of breaking down and building up and making mm-hmm. strong and making
yeah.
new. One of the things we don't like to talk about in this country, but I tell you what, you know, considering the last health challenge, we need to talk about it. It's the issue of constipation. You
yeah.
know, as much as we like to hide from this issue, it's an American issue.
Sure. Digestive
if we
health.
Can get more help yeah. from that, that's just great. Depression, decreased risk for depression. You know,
mm-hmm.
we hear about endorphins and some of these different chemicals that can be released during exercise. But we feel it. We know that. And I
sure.
think some of this stuff really is.
Well, if you live in the Midwest, I mean, you know about the winter blues.
Right.
And I mean, one of the ways that I have to combat that, because it affects me more dramatically than most, is exercise.
Right.
You know, you're not getting the sun, you're not getting the physical activity. So I do that, and, you know, I can make it to the 3 month window we have warm weather. But
right.
Yeah, it's there.
I think most of us, like, when we hear this type of information, it resonates with us to say, well, that's true. I feel like that's true, but there's still something about us that's like, well, you know, is it true? But now we have plenty of research out there. There's plenty of good authoritative sources saying that it's beneficial for these things.
But Joe, you're just right now we're talking a lot about decreasing risk factors. I mean, if this is your only incentive is to say, well, my doctor said I'm at risk, and research has shown that you exercise is one component of decreasing risk factors, and you just outlined some health issues that it could, I mean, why not? I mean, if the rest is on faith and your doctor and the research is saying, well, exercise would lower the risk factor for X, Y, or Z, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, depression, you know, even digestive health, why not do it?
Right.
What do you have to lose?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to really hone in on, because of the fact that, you know, because it can affect so much, it really has to be a proactive. It has to be a proactive decision. So let's look at more of the what it's beneficial for. There's research to show it's beneficial for low thyroid function. Once again, a lot of Americans suffering with this issue, sometimes even subclinically suffering with mm-hmm. this issue. It's beneficial for healthy pregnancy. My wife went through that
mm-hmm.
All three times. Just, you know, we took a Bradley course, really mm-hmm. talked about the benefits for labor
mm-hmm.
And actually making that process easier, and who wouldn't want that as a pregnant woman, for that to be easier.
Right.
Helping with beneficial for exercise can be beneficial for menopausal symptoms. It can benefit the immune function. It can be beneficial for chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. It can be beneficial for insomnia. Once again, I mean, maybe you're suffering with insomnia, and there's some instinct to tell you that the more I work out during the day may benefit my sleep pattern.
And listen, insomnia is an important point to just stop a second and say, there are issues that people have that, you know, can be specific to you. I mean, we're all different, right?
Right.
Like, I can be more prone to insomnia than others. You know, I see right now in my own daughter, her sleep habits are very similar to mine, and I feel bad for her because it doesn't take much. Like, I can watch the wrong movie at night, and I'll just be up. I didn't have any caffeine. I didn't have anything. And, 1, 2 o'clock, I'm up. But I'll tell you what, if I'm exercising, that just doesn't swing as hard. It doesn't happen as much. I'm more prone to it,
right?
But it's not happening as much. So, sure, I mean, there's people probably listening saying, yeah, but this, yeah, but that. That's true. Whatever. Just forget about that. The point is, if you're more prone to X, Y, or Z, if you're prone to heart disease, if you're prone to depression, you're prone to insomnia, that's happening. That's fine. We're not denying that. But exercise can play a role, what we're saying, is in getting some of these benefits, get away from, you know, swinging quite as hard. I definitely don't have a problem sleeping if I had a good some good physical activity. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think really when we look at this, we're constantly looking for that next pill. We're constantly researching for it. We're hearing on, you know, we're looking for it. We're listening to the hype on TV. We're anticipating it. We're sort of let down all the time by all these things we're buying sometimes.
But if you're having trouble sleeping and you can't stay awake for your job, I mean, of course a pill sounds attractive.
Right.
And maybe that's necessary. Look, we always have to say, I'm always, you know,
disclaimer,
doom and gloom.
Disclaimer.
You have to, you know, talk to your doctor. You have to, you know, all that good stuff. This is not medical advice. But what we're pointing out here is awareness. Are you aware of the benefits of the physical activity, and are you even aware that you're doing it? And we're talking to ourselves here.
Right. But I tell you what, if I could develop a pill that could do all these things that it's talking about, I could own my own island country and have my own servants and my own, you know,
this is a lot of benefits. You're not seeing these benefits in a pill.
No, we're looking for this. We're constantly looking for this, and here it is. It's available to us. I don't want to say it's not hard, but it's one of those things that, once again, if we make a conscious effort, we can include it. So let's keep going. I mean, we're not even done yet. So
no.
We've kind of looked at some of the scratching the surface here, but what else can exercise do? We know it can increase circulation.
Right.
Once again, common sense that it can do that. But if you suffer with circulation issues, once again, this is very relevant. Fat burning, you know, that's one of the most common things we know about it. It also increases muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
And increasing muscle mass on the backside increases fat burning. So this is a great cycle to throw yourself into.
Well, and you're changing your body's chemistry too. Like you said, you were a swimmer a long time ago now, and you still you still have some of those, you know, some of those benefits are still coming with you. My family, you know, originally farming, I mean, through a generation or so ago, that's all we did. And, you know, we ate very badly, I must say. But it didn't really catch up to us until, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, because there was such physical activity. And that has stayed with us. Of course, now I'm breaking that cycle. But in any event, like you said, it's there.
Right.
It's with you.
Well, and I think what's really surprising about this whole exercise issue to me is really the fact that our bodies are so resilient. And, you know, it really is doing the best for us and really can live off a lot of what we've done positive in the fact. And those positive benefits can last us so long. But at the same time, you know, if you get back in the saddle, you get back into it, it's surprising
how quickly
it comes.
It's designed for physical activity.
Yeah, it's surprising how quickly you see, you know, weight loss is one of those things you can see. It's surprising how quickly sometimes I think for how long we've been wrong, how long we've done the wrong thing and been bad, how quickly, you know, proportionally it can come back.
Right.
So some other things. It can increase energy levels. It can increase strength, joint stability and range of motion, you know, joint problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising we've done more research on that and just realized that exercise can be beneficial. Now, once again, talking with your doctor, getting on the right plan, but exercise can actually benefit your joints. It's counterintuitive, but it can actually work for you.
You know, we're talking about you know, circulation, insomnia, some of these things, you know, joint stability. Some of these things are counterintuitive. It sounds like, but won't I be more tired if I exercise, or won't my joints hurt more? Well, I mean, we got to do the right things here. We're not talking about, you know, don't become a power lifter if you have bad knees. That's not what we're saying. Or maybe even running would be bad for you. But there's other things. So let's keep going with these.
Yeah. So, you know, exercise also increases brain function. So what's the tie there? It doesn't even seem like there's even a tie there. But I think, once again, that can be something that's common sense to us to say, oh, you know, the more I work out, the more active my brain is, the quicker I think. And I feel that. I notice that. And, you know, especially now working a desk job, I realize that when I run in the morning, I am hot to go in the morning. I'm ready to go. My brain is clicking just right. It can also.
Did you run this morning?
I did not. You know what? Actually, this is my morning to run. Me and my wife are on a rotation. We have three kids, so like, you know, it's hard to get that time to do that. So we're on a rotation. This was my morning. I slept right through it.
I tell you what, I didn't run either, and I couldn't remember what I was trying to tell you earlier. I lost it right away. Brain function wasn't there for me.
And you know, we're actually coming to, like I said, this week's health challenge, and I'm going to be kind of embarrassed next week. This is really going
to
keep me.
Finally, my opportunity to embarrass the fiber guru.
So just keeping along those lines, brain function, mood helps improve mood.
Yeah.
Who doesn't need that? Who could use a little bit of help with that?
Sure.
And to know that this can affect mood and everything else really kind of
throws
us on
the top. Don't
you
just hate that person who exercises religiously is always in a good mood?
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
isn't
always
that
snappy
annoying?
At work.
Oh, and, come on.
So yeah, at the end of the day, you know, really all putting all this together, it can actually improve self-image. Which is, you know, we can talk about that lightly, but at the end of the day,
all right,
that
so,
is important.
So enough talking. What's the weekly health challenge? I mean,
yeah,
it fits right in.
Once again, we're just at awareness.
Yeah.
We're not even going
to
go there and say,
I don't have
oh,
to go
how
to the
often
gym.
You need to do
okay.
this, and, you know, and like get you there. I don't even want you to do anything necessarily different than what you're doing. We just need to become aware of what we're doing. And so, you know, we're going to say how many hours a week are you active, or hours a day are you active, but that's not really going to work out for some of us. I know it may not work out for me in like half the day. So let's even say half hours. How many half hours are you going to be active each day of the week, and just keeping track? And active is just more than, you know, I'm going to keep the bar very low here. It's more than just sitting around, and you know, if you're in the lying position or in the seated position or even in the standing position and not really moving, that doesn't count.
Right.
Everything else, let's throw it in the bucket. Because I think we're going to be surprised here.
I think we need to look at the negative a little bit more than usual on this one, too. In other words, and if you're on the lying or seating position during the day, like let's say you have a desk job, how many hours of those are you? I mean, because you couple that with what you ate that day, and there's a definite, you know, there's a balance element there that we need to recognize. Is it a surplus or is it a deficit? You know, you're sitting on your duff for 8 hours a day. You know, your body's different than if you were, like you said, you ran this morning and then sat still. But like you said, half hours, and then also I think let's look at how many hours weren't you active, because right. Because we're just talking about awareness. So if you say, well, I went Monday through Wednesday, I didn't really do anything.
Right.
I went to work and I came home. We made dinner. I went to bed. You know, your body's doing something with that too.
Well, I did the math on this, and it's just over 2% of the day that you're active if you're active for a half an hour.
That sounds about right for me.
2%. So, I mean, you know, obviously we're sleeping some of that. But, you know, it really, it's a shocker. When you look at it percentage-wise, that's what really hit me is, like, the days I'm only active for, like, half an hour, that's 2% of your day.
But let's just think about it. Let's just think about it. Could we do things that, like you said, half hours a day, or how many half hours, you know, could we garden? Could we push the grandkids around the block? Could we... you know, mowing the lawn, washing the car. I mean, there's plenty of everyday activities that we can do, even if it does mean taking some time out after dinner. This is what my family tries to do. If all else fails, if all else, you know, if the plans go to the wind, let's go for a walk afterwards, after dinner, and that's something,
right?
Right? That's the fail safe. Like,
right.
If you can't do anything else, especially during the summer, let's walk the block.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're ready to do this. Oh, by the way, it does count if you're sitting or laying down and working out. So you can do that. But I really want to keep this to a point where we really bring awareness of how little are we active, and that really is going to include if any activity, any walking, any motion, any continual motion.
And let's use this coming week to start to, like, if you're saying, I don't know what physical activity I would enjoy, let's just start finding what those things might be, becoming aware of them,
awareness.
Starting to pick if you're walking, running, biking, hiking, you know, doing yard work, whatever. Just start to think about it. That's all you have to do, and that'll be a good start. All right, so next week we're going to come back together, and you're going to tell me why you lost this challenge and why I won, and it's going to be awesome. So that's it. Anything else to add as a takeaway for today?
No, it really, once again, you know, we started this process thinking about these things. We don't want to just give you more burden. We're not really trying to, like, make you feel bad. This is not about, like, throwing guilt trips. This is really just about saying, okay, reality check. What's the reality? What am I really doing each day? And let's just become aware of it so that we can start making changes in positive directions. You know, we seem to be doing a lot of these things wrong, but let's take this a week at a time. You know, we have a week at a time, and we're not even to a progressive point yet.
Yeah.
We're just becoming aware. So,
you know what, Joe? Let's just say for our listeners, if you hear some of these things that we've highlighted, some of these things that we've outlined, some of the suggestions we've made, and if you just take one thing away for now, and you start doing that, I think this would be a success. So just know, with any kind of learning, it's one thing at a time. give yourself that that liberty, that leeway to just start working on one thing. And hopefully you find this encouraging. That's our show for today. Remember, the podcast is on iTunes. You can search Heart Health and that'll come up. Or you can go to oathealth.com/blog/podcast. That's episode number 9. And I hope you'll join us again on the Oat Health Heart Health podcast.